As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we thank you for everything. On this day that we know as Father's Day, let us remember not only our earthly fathers, but let us remember you, because you are our Father. Whether we had a father or not in this life, or we have one that's disconnected from us, or we had one that was just never there, allow us to remember that you can be our Father and you are our Father. In all things, we give you praise. In all things, we lift everything to you, every care. For you give us endless love. Just as James and John and the disciples followed you everywhere, following Jesus everywhere, as he ultimately died on the cross for our sins, so we have a bright future with you. Let us never remember what the sun did for us. Let us remember the light that just shines through us. Father, in all things, let us praise your name. For you are a mighty and awesome God that can do anything. Father, we ask a blessing over this service. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Hey.
Oh, Heavenly Father, as we come before you, thank you so much for what you did for us, sending your only Son to die on the cross. Father, and sometimes I know myself, I get wrapped up in stuff that I need and stuff that I want, but sometimes I forget to thank you for all you did. Just like that song says, you're my Savior. I will praise you, Lord. Please allow me to learn to give everything to you. There isn't anything that any of us need to worry about. Allow us all to know that we can turn it over to you. There isn't anything you won't do for your children, and we are children of you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing and what you have done. We thank you for the healing that you're giving to us. We thank you for the bright future you're giving to us and the hope. And there isn't anything you won't do for us, and let us remember that with all things, with you, everything truly is possible. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service and over this church. Continue to bless the church, the pastor, and everyone here. And those that need you, please let them find you. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. As many of you know, this past week we had Vacation Bible School here at Trinity, and we want to share that with you. And so we've prepared a video clip, so just sit back and enjoy the sights and sounds of Vacation Bible School 2015. What an awesome week. What a great week. And I saw Rachel here. I'm going to ask her to come forward. And I just want to share with you a verse. Psalm 78, verse 4 says this: we will tell the next generation. Now listen to this. We'll tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And friends, as Rachel comes and shares with us a few more words about VBS this year, I can assure you that that's what took place this past week here, sharing with that next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And what an awesome week.
It was a very, very exciting week. To anybody who didn't have a chance to help this year, think about it next year. The funny thing is that I sat with Susie on one of the last days for a minute and shared with her how funny it is when you get a chance to work with all the kids, how they work in you and they don't even know it. For the whole week, I mean, your heart's just pulled closer and closer to God. So, the kids got to learn about how God has the power to heal, comfort, multitude of things that God does. And getting to share that time with them was amazing. So if anyone ever gets a chance to come out next year, we're already excited about it. Is there anything else you wanted me to share? Okay.
Thank you, Rachel. We just want to thank everyone who took part in volunteering and who prayed and in some way, stood with us this past week. So thank you much, from the decorations to the prayers to all kinds of different things. We just want to thank you. And just a roundabout number, we had just about 100 kids every day. I think on Friday, and this was one of the first years that attendance did not drop here. Since I've been here, on Friday we had just at 100 children. And so we did some things differently, and I know I was asked a lot of times different questions like, how many kids are there? Because it did not feel like there were that many kids. But friends, when God is a God of order, and when things are done in order and in a good fashion, it doesn't seem so chaotic and hectic. And that's a blessing. So thank you all. Thank you much for standing with us, for volunteering and serving the next generation by telling them the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Annalisa.
I just want to share something real quick. When you talk about the next generation, I do daycare in town, if you do not know, and like my whole daycare was here all week. And one of my little girls is terribly afraid of the recent thunderstorms we've had. So nap time has been a little challenging. She gets a little scared. She's so afraid. What's that noise? And two of my little ones, Friday afternoon, we're going down for nap. And she starts to get worked up. And I'm scared. And little Wyatt, I'm sure a lot of you know Wyatt. He's got the heart of God in him. He went over to her cot and said, "Don't be afraid, Wagon. You know, God is with us, and he has the power to comfort. Hold on." And it was just the most amazing thing to see these 2 4-year-olds interact, and on their own, he's like, God is with you. And you know what? She went down for a nap without a problem. She looked at him and said, you're right. And I said, that's amazing. God is with you. So I want you to know that I am so excited to hear the conversations that come the weeks to follow, because you are reaching these children. They come home every day. They talk about it. I'm so blessed to have these children in my home and to see that and to facilitate that and keep growing that love that has started here at Trinity. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you, Annalisa. Yep, that's why we are here, to tell that next generation the praiseworthy deeds of what God has done, and may that continue for years to come here at Trinity United Methodist Church. Let us continue our time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings. If the ushers would please come, may we all give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. Amen. You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. I think some of us who were here all week for VBS are a bit tired and not as sharp as what we normally are, and so that was an omission on my part. We are going to look at God's Word and the reading of His Word here now, and I'm going to make another change. We're going to look at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We will start in verse 33. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 1569. And so follow along as we hear a reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, beginning in verse 33. They came to Capernaum when he was in the house. He asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." May God bless the reading of His Word. This morning, another opportunity to welcome members into our congregation. And if all of you who are joining here this morning would come forward and stand down here. You guys want to stand and face the congregation? We finished up our new members class here several weeks ago. I'm going to sneak over here, and we want to welcome, we have Jill and Joe, Lindsay and Tyler, Eric, Annalisa, Leanne, Henry, and then Julie and Jared that are going to join us in our congregation as members. And so Ray has, you know, certificates of membership for them, and we want to welcome them into our congregation. So if you would, just please give them a good round of a welcome here this morning. God is doing some wonderful things here at Trinity and through Trinity. And we are going to pray over these new members. And we are excited to see what God is going to do in them and through them and in this community as a result of them joining with us. And so let us all extend the right hand of fellowship. And Ray, if you would want to come back and extend the right hand of fellowship into membership here. So if you'll just shake my hand. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's been an honor and a blessing to get to know you guys. And to continue, so welcome, welcome. And we are going to pray over all of them right now. And so if you would, bow your heads and your hearts with us. Gracious Heavenly Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for what you continue to do here. We thank you, O Christ our King, for your mercy, for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your truth. And Lord, we thank you for wonderful people who yearn to serve you, who yearn to follow you in where you are leading. And so, Father, we just thank you for all the new members. May we just extend a warm welcome to all of them. May they feel encouraged and loved and to be a part of something new that you are doing here at Trinity. May we bless you. May we become truly one as one body that you are the head of. And so, O Christ, our King, just bless them, bless their families, and may they just feel just warmly welcomed and accepted here at Trinity this day and for the days to come. In the wonderful name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. This morning, we are continuing our series titled Faithful Followers. We are going to look at the disciple Andrew. Now, if you were to look all through the New Testament and you would look at the verses or the references that Andrew is mentioned, you could probably count them on two hands. And so you pause and you think, what can we learn from someone who is not mentioned very often? And really, if we look at all the times that he is mentioned, most of the times that Andrew is mentioned is when all the disciples are being listed. And so you remove those times. But friends, there's a message here for all of us. There's a message for all of us when we look at the type of man that Andrew was. Now, Andrew was the first to believe, and he was a disciple of John the Baptist. And Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, and when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And Andrew immediately left John the Baptist, and he went and followed Jesus. The interesting thing is the first thing that he did once he followed Jesus was he went and got his brother Peter, and he took him to Jesus. Throughout all the scriptures in the New Testament, every time, most of the time that you see Andrew being mentioned, you can always see him bringing somebody to Jesus. That's the first thing that we can learn from this individual who was the disciple of small things, who really wasn't much had, you know, knowledge or we don't know much about. But yet he constantly is bringing people to Christ. He brings his brother Peter to Jesus. And if you think about having a brother and the type of man that Jesus or Peter was, you would think he should be hesitant. He wasn't. He knew that Peter was going to dwarf him. He knew that Peter was going to take the lead. He knew that he would have to fade into the background because of the type of person that Peter was. And yet he saw the value in individual people. All the books that I've read on evangelism, really what it tells us is this, is that the most successful type of evangelism is bringing people individually to Christ. It's not in these crusades, it's not in all of these giant things that we sometimes put on, but it's an individual ministry of sharing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Andrew saw the value of individual people. I wonder what our church would look like. I wonder what the American church would look like if we too had that same heart to reach out to those in our world, in our community, with that same heartfelt desire to connect other people with Christ Jesus. Just the other day, I was in a restaurant, and the waitress that was waiting on me, she was having a horrible day. It was negative, negative, negative. And I began to correct her and began to share with her positive different things of how good her life was compared to other areas in the world. And friends, I never got to the gospel presentation, but sometimes we don't have to. It's all about acknowledging that we are connecting people to Christ in our every encounter with them each and every day. We must not forget that. We must not remove that from our mindset. It's what we do. It's St. Francis of Assisi when he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." It's how we live. It's what we do. It's how we interact with the world around us. It's what we carry with us. It's being the walking letter the Apostle Paul called all of us, that we are being read, we are being looked at, we're being viewed, our actions, our attitudes, our words, and our conduct as well. Another time that Andrew took someone to Jesus was found in John chapter 12, verses 21 and 22. And we're told, "So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew went with Philip and told Jesus. You see, it's seeing the value of the individual person, and it's seeing their need and what truly is their need. And friends, the need in our world is a need to have a Savior that heals, a Savior that forgives, a Savior that loves, to have a Savior that comforts, a Savior that provides, to have a Savior that fills that God-shaped void in their heart. Many times we stop at the physical needs, we stop at the emotional needs, and we treat the symptoms, and we try to meet those external things, and it's not the external things that will ever last. It's seeing the individual person as being valuable. Andrew saw the value of an individual person, and he constantly took people to Christ. And so the challenge for all of us, and I'm going to share with you the three points that I have this morning to share with you. We could divide each one of these up and just sit right here and stop and think, what is God asking of me? What is God asking me to do? Is he asking me to live my life in a lone position? Or is he asking me to connect people with Christ? And friends, we are the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, the church in America needs to be the light. We need to be the salt. We need to make people thirsty and draw them to Christ. We need to see the value of individual people and bring them to Christ. Andrew not only saw the value of individual people, but he also saw the value of insignificant gifts. As I mentioned, Andrew is always bringing people to Jesus. The feeding of the 5,000. You have the little boy with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish. And most likely the 2 fish were sardines. And so they were very small fish. And yet who takes him to Jesus? It's Andrew. And we're told in John 6, verses 8 through 10, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. You know, I am really tired of hearing from many people one thing, and it goes like this. I don't have anything to give. That drives me insane. Because friends, what if Andrew said to Jesus, "Nope, there's nothing here." What if Andrew said, "Nope," but yet he takes the young boy who had his lunch to Jesus. Let God be God, and let God do what only God can do. Our role, our job is to take people to Christ, to take them to Jesus. Our job isn't to determine what is significant and what is insignificant. Our job is not to determine what is great and what is not. Our job is not to determine what is valuable and what is not. Our job is to let God be God. Let God do what only God can do. The times that I hear people say, "I don't have anything to give. I have nothing of value to give God," it really breaks my heart and it hurts my heart, because it says to me that you are thinking that you are more than God. You are thinking you're above God. And I have an individual in my own immediate family that says that to me all the time. Let God be God. Let God take the insignificant gifts and let him multiply those gifts. Let him take what is given to him and let him do what only God can do. Think of the 5,000. Now we could, you know, talk about all the numbers there. And Jesus' day, they only counted men. Okay, women and children. You're probably upwards of 7,000 to 10,000 people there. So it's not just feeding of the 5,000, it's feeding of 5,000 men. And so you think of all those people who would have lost out on having their need met if Andrew said, "Nope, that's nothing." But Andrew follows. He takes that insignificant gift to Jesus, and he lets God be God. He lets Jesus do what only God can do, and that's to multiply. That's to bring something out of nothing. We truly cannot bring something out of nothing, but God can. In the beginning of the creation, God spoke and it became. It wasn't that he created something from something that was already here. He created something out of nothing. And friends, when we say, I have nothing to give, I have nothing to bring, I don't have anything to offer, we are saying that God can't bring anything out of nothing. We're saying that God cannot be God. We're saying that we know more than God. Andrew knew the value of insignificant gifts. We, too, need to know the value of insignificant gifts. Let God do what God can do and multiply those gifts. Let God do what only God can do and bring something out of nothing. And therefore, I just wonder, who in our culture, in our country of America, who is going without? Because we look at the gifts. We look at what is not being given. We look at those things and say, I have nothing. Well, friends, let's start with our heart. This past week, I can't tell you how many kids came forward and shared and received Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, we are in the process of going through and looking at and talking with these children to make sure they understood what they were doing. But God doesn't want the gifts. He wants the heart. Andrew knew that. Andrew knew what was at stake there. And so Andrew's heart was, what is this among so many? But Jesus, you are God, and so therefore you do what only you can do. And that young boy hands over his lunch, and 7 to 10,000 are blessed because of it. Friends, in our country, we suffer from a self-sufficient, we suffer from this self-supporting mentality and ideal that says that God is not God. And we need to get back to the attitude of understanding that God is God. He can multiply. He can bring out of nothing things that we do not have. I could tell you stories from the other church that I came from about a youth room and people, I don't know that people even here believe me. We had no youth room. And then all of a sudden they charged me in starting a youth group. And we began to grow and have 15, 20 kids. I kid you not, they had us start in a coat room. We outgrew that coat room. And then lo and behold, before I knew it, we were having building meetings. They added a whole addition of a youth room on. And so I sat down and I came up with a whole list of dreams that I had. And by the time that God called me out of there, he met every single one of those dreams. Every single one of things like having a 100 CD jukebox disc changer in there where the kids could go up and have the bill changer took out. Specific dreams. Things like a foosball table, a pool table, ping pong table. I had things because I wanted church pews in there so that the kids would recognize they were still in a church. Next thing you know, I'm getting a phone call from a church at Cleveland Hopkins Airport that was closing down. How they got my number, I don't know. And they said, hey, we have pews here. Do you want them? How much are they? Come get them. They're yours. Friends, God is God. If we view things as being insignificant, we never allow God to have the chance to work. We need to understand, as Andrew did, that God values gifts. He values insignificant amounts of gifts. The third thing that we can understand from Andrew, the disciple, is he saw the value of inconspicuous service. He knew that when he took Peter, his brother, to be with Jesus, he knew that he would be dwarfed. He knew that he would take second place. And yet Andrew was in one of the inner circle with Peter, James, John, and Andrew. If you look at the disciples when they're named, there's 12 of them, and you always see groupings of four. And he was in the most intimate grouping with Jesus. He had the all access to Christ, the living Lord, the Savior, the one who would be the one that would die for our sins. And he understood to be inconspicuous in his service, to literally go around and just be quiet and doing what he had to do, what God was asking him to do. In our culture, we suffer from always wanting to be first. We suffer from always wanting to be up front. We suffer from always wanting to be about ourselves. There's a huge lesson. Now, friends, in God's kingdom, many of us are going to labor in inconspicuous service. Not everybody is going to be a Billy Graham. Not everybody is going to be one who stands before thousands and thousands. But friends, the blessedness is this. If you want to be first, be last. If you want to be first in the kingdom of God, serve. And so in our culture, when we look and talk about the disciple Andrew, the disciple of small things, we can learn the value of people. Andrew valued people, always taking people to Christ. When I began a recovery ministry at the last church, I told them up front, I said, I'm not going to, you know, mince any words. We're going to Christ. Some people left. Some people never came back. Those who stayed, I took them to the foot of the cross, and I took them to Jesus. Friends, you and I, through our daily life, we can do the same. We can offer that kind word, that word of encouragement that only comes from God. We can be that living embodiment that is the hands and feet of Christ. And we can begin to see the value of all people, the value of the people who were just shot in South Carolina this week. The value of people. The second thing we can learn is we can see the value of insignificant gifts. And don't judge. Don't sit there and buy the lie that says, I've got nothing. No, you have a heart. You have energy. You have breath. You have life. You have your very being that you can begin there. Andrew didn't come with gifts. Jesus said, hey, come follow me. He left John the Baptist and he followed. But Andrew also knew the value of serving in a quiet manner, in a way where only God would know what was being done. Friends, there's so much we can learn from Andrew. And just to share with you, the church historian Eusebius, he tells that Andrew is the patron saint of Russia. He's also the patron saint of Scotland. That's why you get St. Andrews over in Scotland. And history tells us that he was crucified. He led a governor's wife to Christ, and then the governor got upset, and so he ordered his execution. Now listen to this. He was crucified on a cross like an X. It wasn't a typical cross. And the governor was so upset that he led his wife to Christ that he didn't nail him to that cross, but he lashed him to the cross, meaning he tied him on the cross, and he hung there for 2 days. 2 days he hung there. And tradition tells us those entire 2 days he was exhorting all the passers-by to come to Christ for salvation. Now, friends, you won't find that in Scripture. You'll find that in the writings of Eusebius, a church historian. And so he saw the value of people. He saw the value of insignificant gifts. He saw the value of inconspicuous service. May we learn and glean and grow from the disciple Andrew. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your truth. Father, may we understand where you are leading us. May we grasp the value of individual people, to grasp that they are all created in the image of you, and in your likeness you have made them all. May we not overlook anyone. May we see their hurts and feel their pains. And may we truly be that breath of life and that word of encouragement, that word of life into their heart and soul. Oh Christ, may we not buy into the lie that we have nothing to give. May we not buy into the lie that someone else isn't giving as much. But Jesus, may we see the value of insignificant gifts. And may we present those gifts to you, even in the quietness, in the secret of the place where we meet with you. And may we give them over to you and say, Lord, take these, use these, make them usable, multiply them, do what you wish with them. Lord, it's about you and not us. It's about your kingdom and not ours. It's about your will and not ours. And Father, may you cure us all from the sin of pride. And may we be well and okay with quietly serving in the background and going about what you have asked us to do. But may these truths and may these challenges be at our core to such an extent that it's who we are when no one is looking. And so, Father, we thank you for Andrew. We thank you for the disciple Andrew and for the lessons that his life teaches us. May you meet with us and grow us in your way. In the blessed name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.
They're going to go to a service for those people in Charleston. And I'm going to ask for everybody's prayers because I want you to understand the Ku Klux Klan is planning on being there today also. So I'm going to ask for peace and only God's peace because it was devastating and uncalled for. And I know that Revelation says it's going to get worse. But I just pray that they have peace today. Thank you.
Why don't we just a reminder that hate is the absence of love. And God is love. And so, you know, I read one article this past week where the other church members and even the young man that did the shooting, he was hesitant because they were so nice. And if there's a message there for all of us too. And so if we think about that and we think about the emptiness that people that are perpetrating those violent crimes have to feel, it's an emptiness that is without God. And there is no greater emptiness, there is no greater loneliness than that. And so why don't we pause right now and just pray? And I know that, you know, later on today up in Toledo at, maybe Casey would know, St. Andrew's United Methodist Church, right in the parking lot, they're going to have a candlelight vigil, you know, for, you know, that tragedy that took place. But let's bow our heads and our hearts and let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you know what took place this past week. Father, it grieves our heart. Jesus, it just causes a sting in our soul. Father, we know that it wasn't your will that that took place. And we pray for all the families that have been affected. We even pray for those who, perpetrated that act of violence. We pray for their hearts. We pray that you would woo them to yourself. We pray that you would not allow them to run from you anymore. Oh, Jesus, may your light be the beacon of light that, you know, just shines in the depths of the emptiness of those people's souls and hearts. May your love saturate their being. And may you truly comfort and may you bring healing and peace to all those that have been affected. And we pray for this service or the services that are taking place. We pray for your protection, that you would surround those services, that nothing further would take place. Father, we recognize you are God. You are God and you truly are God. And so, Father, may you minister. And we're going to trust that as your word says, you will work good in all things according to those who love you. And so may you work good in this situation as well. In the blessed name of Jesus our Savior we pray. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender. Jesus, take me now. And I surrender all. I surrender all.
Now, as we close this morning, may the God of all peace bless you and keep you. May his love saturate your soul, and may you truly see through his eyes and hear with his ears and have the mind of Christ, as the scripture says we have. May you and I see the value of all people and receive the gifts and give gifts, even though it may not seem like much. And may you truly, truly, truly be okay with serving quietly, doing what God is asking you to do. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in peace. Amen.